I want to preach to you for the second week in this thing called Don't Stop. And I don't know if you were here for week one, you know, Don't Stop Till It Drops. And how many of you decided to take another lap this week and go around? Okay. Yeah. It was a great message on Jericho. And you know, some of these guys are looking at this whole deal. Six laps, not knowing what the number would actually be. Joshua told them nothing. Round and round they go. And he also said, don't say anything. 40 years ago, the last guy that said something screwed this whole thing up. So don't say anything. I'll let you know. And when you hear this moment, this time, it's all going to happen. It's all going to come down. Don't stop short to believe that when you can't see God working around you, you know that He is still working in you. Right? Even though the results aren't visual here, He's working in something to have you become something. So those six laps that all those guys did round and round Jericho, something was happening inside them. At any moment, God can do something. I'm just going to shut up and march. You know that He's still working in you? Congregation, do you know that? All things work together for good to those who love God, called according to His purpose. And we said that this might be our last lap. You never know. You never know if you stop. You've come too far in your marriage to walk away from it now just because it's gotten tight, maybe through the teenage years. A lot of pressure there. You've come too far in your walk with God to just step back in your old life right now. And I believe that many people are going to be sharing testimonies. It may be this week. It may be months from now. Folks, it may be years from now. I don't care. Because God is working in His time frame, and He is up to something here. Amen? He is doing that. You have to believe that. And there is hope in that. Being faithful, it may be a long time. But God showed Himself. He showed Himself faithfully here every week. You're here. Someone you invited may be here this morning. And that was 2 weeks ago. That was 2 weeks ago. And then John, last week, Did y'all enjoy last week? John, thank you for last week. Appreciate it. I was crossing the ocean to the other side there. And I want you guys this morning to relax, but not on the principles of His Word, but just let go of junk that you may have brought to the front here and just put it outside emotionally and mentally. Let's pray. Father, as we just sung that, hallelujah, hallelujah. The rushing wind that is so strong. I sit back this morning and just say, empower this moment. Take these scriptures where you want them to go. For folks that have never been here, maybe they're cruising through, may they find something here of substance that says, there is great value in my visit today. But I don't mean just find it, but apply it. So that's what we ask. Take your word, put it where it needs to go, and through your Holy Spirit, move it into the individuals and into the places in the hearts of the individuals. And may someone's life be different as a result of being here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This week, we're heading back to the New Testament, and it's a story that, so to speak, we hit on almost a couple of months ago, but there's other nuggets in there, and we have a theme verse because I think every good series needs like a gold verse, right? It needs something to hang on that's firm, it's real, and it's a structure behind it. Hebrews 10:36. It's a great verse, and I need to find it here. Okay, look at your notes this morning, or if you want to look on the screen, some of you have it on your an app on your phone, which is awesome. And I trust you, okay? Now that's what you're looking at. You need to persevere. That's what it says. You need to persevere. Tell somebody sitting next to you, you quit too quickly. Yeah, that's what he's telling those. He's saying, you give up too quick. You lose 10 pounds in the first week and you quit going. You quit by doing, you know, all this, just, you know, the cardio deal isn't working. You don't look like the Olympic athlete too quickly. So, you know, you're not getting it and you quit. Okay. You need to keep going. He says, so that when you've done the will of God, you'll receive what he has promised. Once you've been walking with God a little while, it no longer presses you as much, those who have the faith to start something, okay, but those who have the fortitude to finish it. Amen? Yeah, that's really where it's at. I admire those people who not just have the faith to start. Anybody can show up at the sale event. Anybody can. But those who pay the price in perseverance, they stick it out even when things look horrible, right? The family situation, whatever it may be, the finances, the job, your employer situation, where you're at. Well, this week I want to preach to you about God's purpose in your life, and I choose as a title, it's a very simple statement. It's a statement of faith, actually, and I want to call this message, Count on It. You can count on it, okay? Very simple, and I want to unpack that statement, and we're going to dive a little bit sooner in the New Testament in Acts 27, where the great Apostle Paul, once again, huge Bible hero, everyone's fan. We often read about his writings, and sometimes I don't think we understand what was behind certain principles that he shared. I know I do. I've flown through things and missed these little nuggets. And about a month ago, I remember a message in regards to this journey where Paul ended up on Malta. Remember that? He was on Malta. How in the world did I end up on this island in the middle of nowhere? And there was something else that was discovered there, and I put it on hold. I stuffed it in my journal. It's found its way into your Sunday morning on the 15th here, okay? We're going to dive into it. Paul has so much detail that he lived, but so were the people who observed him. They put that detail into writing, and I love that. I don't think we understand a lot of his principles, what he suffered, to be able to share what he shared. And to pin so much of the New Testament, to be able to write to us in the depths of the riches and the things that he's found in Christ. He had to experience personal deaths of pain and a lot of disappointment, okay? If you ever see somebody who has great spiritual strength, and you've observed them, you've hung out with them, you've spoken to them, you've heard them speak, man, you can bet that it was born out of some sorrow and adversity, okay? Write that in if you have an outline this morning. Guaranteed. It's just no free lunch, as my dad would say. There is always going to be a little adversity there. It's going to be rough. So we're going to pick up with Paul at the end of Acts 27. And Paul's in trouble, y'all. Paul is in trouble. And he's in transition. And he's in trouble. By the way, if you're in either one of those situations, transition or trouble, okay? Either one of those things. I want you to know that's a good place to be. It's a good place to be, all right? This is what Paul is in, because it's a great place where God can do the deepest transformation. True? Yeah. And when we're in transition and when we're in trouble, and Paul is in both, okay? In fact, he's on board a ship. Here he goes. He's headed to Rome. He was told, you are going to speak to Caesar. You're going to give an account. He was told, this is your mission. But boy, did things change on the way there. And it would be one thing if he's headed to Rome on a Royal Caribbean or Princess Cruise Lines because he's always wanted to taste the wine in Rome, but he's not, okay? He's as a visitor, he's headed to Rome on a ship, prisoner, 275 other prisoners on board, and bound hand and foot, probably some pretty barbaric conditions. And if that's not enough for Paul being headed to Rome as a prisoner, along the way he encounters some serious stuff. And after doing a race last weekend, 32 miles, and seeing the wind shift midway in the middle of a race, I got some visual on this one, and it really made it into my notes. But along the way, there's a lot of difficulty he faces. And it wasn't his fault. Okay, let's look at it. And that's what we're gonna read about today. Count on it. You can count on it. Having a spirit of faith that God's purposes will be revealed. I want to pick up in verse 9. You guys love the Bible? I didn't hear everybody. You love the Bible? You like it a whole lot? I love it, man. The details in here are great. Great story here, Acts 27, verse 9. I love the Bible because it doesn't pull any punches. It lets us see the interior world of the people whose examples we are to follow. It's talking about how Paul's on the ship. Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, is giving a very serious account. He says, much time had been lost. Sailing had already become dangerous because by now it was the day after atonement. So conditions weren't ideal. They rarely are in our lives, by the way. So Paul warned the people on the ship. He said, men, I can see our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to the ship and cargo and to our own lives also. But the centurion, the guy that was in charge, okay, instead of listening to Paul, said he followed the advice of the pilot. And what Paul said was just kind of thrown out there. He followed the advice of the captain of the ship. Now, I wrote outside that in my text, I wrote out the word obviously there, okay? I don't know about you, but if there's a guy and he's prisoners are supposed to be transported safely. This guy was in charge, and he had been to nautical school. He's got the maps. It's his boat. There's the owner. There's the pilot. All right? Or you have this preacher on board who's bound in chains and a prisoner, okay? Preacher, prisoner, pilot, owner. Who are you going to go with, guys? You're going to go with the owner, okay? And that's exactly what happened. But anyway, I just wanted you to know, Paul said, I've been praying about this. And the Lord told me, people say some very funny things behind that phrase, by the way. I don't know if you've heard that before. It's been said, it's the Christian trump card right there. It means I can say whatever I want to say next, and you can't do anything about it. The Lord told me. It drives me nuts, okay? Back in response, but the Lord told me this. He says, the Lord told me we shouldn't go. And so the guy who has to make the decisions, he's like, okay, I can listen to the pilot, or I can listen to the owner of the ship, or this guy here standing on board who's been arrested, okay? So decision's been made. Okay, and yet because he made that decision to not listen to Paul on board, Paul was no ordinary preacher. And what he did know is Paul was on board to fulfill God's purpose. And I'm speaking to somebody in this crowd right now. You may be totally misunderstood. People may not completely understand who you are and what you're about. They may not even trust what you have to say. But if you're on a mission, if you're on purpose, you know who you're behind. You know who's behind you. And you keep pressing on. So what Paul is representing on board this boat is way more than a preacher. And this boat and this attendance and what he's doing, representing the purposes of God. So God is speaking through Paul to warn these men. And they're not listening. And I'll tell you what, this is a metaphor of how in our own lives, so often we listen to the other voices on the boat. Often we do. Come on, somebody. Okay? There's a lot of other indicators. And we're listening to all sorts of things. We listen to everybody's own ideas, everybody else's opinions, everybody else's assessment of the situation before we listen to God's. In an outrigger boat with a journey as long as we had last week, there is a big stern warning in the very beginning of that race. There is one voice that needs to be heard in that boat, and that is the captain of that vessel. That is the steersman, okay? He doesn't give a rip what the pace setter's opinion is. It may be too fast, too slow. The guy in the back is in charge. And we don't give a rip if the third person just says the boat's jerking a little bit and a little too light on the yama and the yaku looks loose. No one gives a rip. The steersman is in charge. And when he says something, you better be quiet. You better listen to what's said. It will determine your place in the race. You got to make this decision. And I'd like for you to write this down. Will I steer by my senses or still steer by the Spirit? Write that in, okay? The Spirit. What leads you? What do I have leading me? I have a whole other era of life I'm living in. I've got kids that have all taken off, man. They're everywhere. A lot of life going on. But another very important chapter, another very important stage of my life that I'm in right now with my wife called Empty Nest. How am I going to lead in this era? What's this look like with kids becoming adults? See, every ship is being steered by something, my life included, and the ship represents your life. It represents the direction that you're headed and where you're going. It represents all the things that God's given you in your life what you have been and what you can be entrusted with. By the way, your life is headed in direction by the way that it's being steered. Follow me. I know it's a very simple analogy, okay? But listen. It occurs to me that a lot of us are like this centurion. Instead of listening to what the voice of God says, because a lot of times it doesn't make any sense, we're listening to what our senses say because we need to understand something. We have to understand, okay? I remember one time at boot camp I wrote down, you can have understanding or you can have God. And I wrote that in. Can I tell you there's a lot of stuff that God told people to do in the Bible? It didn't make a whole lot of sense at all. And if you live your life by what makes sense, you'll never become a person with strong faith, period. If it always has to make sense for you to obey God, you won't have strong faith. If it always has to make sense for you to believe God, you'll never know what it means to literally go out into deeper waters and to trust Him. This can work. Let's give it a shot. You're losing risk in your life. That stuff that helps you take that step forward, it helps you literally move forward. Like those guys, even though there may have been some grumbling and complaining, we don't know, but they took a risk, and every morning they got up and walked 6 laps around this very small city with extremely tall walls. Round and round they went. It didn't make sense, y'all. It didn't make a bit of sense for Joshua to walk around the walls of Jericho 7 times. It didn't make a bit of sense for Moses to put his staff in the Red Sea and expect that the water was going to part. It didn't make a bit of sense for Daniel to spend a night with lions talking about God's able to keep me and protect me with these lions. It didn't make a bit of sense for Jesus to hang his body on the cross and then say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. It didn't make a bit of sense for when that stone was rolled away for him to get up and appear to 120. It didn't make a bit of sense for those people to hear that and then to go out preaching in his name. It didn't make a bit of sense when they persecuted the apostles for them to say, we need to trust God rather than men. Are you living your life by what makes sense? If so, you'll never have faith. You won't. And if you stop every time, it doesn't make sense. This is going to cost me a little bit. People are going to think I'm weird. People are not going to want to be around me. You know, I know exactly where this is headed, especially in a small town. You know, I'm on this sidewalk, they're on the other sidewalk. They see me in Vons, they go down a different aisle, all that stuff. People are going to call me one of those Christians. If you're always trying to make sense of this, or you want to look the part as far as the world is concerned, you'll never walk in faith. And it's easy to walk that way. And it's difficult. We walk by faith, not by sight. Amen? I want you to think about these key areas in your life. Think about them. Are you living according to your senses, what you can calculate? Or are you living according to a sense of confidence in God's promises, that he does the math? You know what I like to say? Outcome is God's responsibility. Obedience is yours. Outcome is God's responsibility. So leave that up to him. And this week, Daniel's birthday. Happy birthday, Daniel, by the way. It's tomorrow. But we're saying happy birthday to you. He had this crazy camp out adventure, and I had no room on the schedule for this at all. And yet he's our roomie, and he's a good guy, and he's been there for many of us here. And we love you, bro. You're weird, but we love you, okay? And it didn't make a bit of sense, dead tired for some of the things to go on, to get in the vehicle and to go back out for a night to pull a schedule like this. But when I saw the look in his eyes, it's meant a lot to come out camping. And just the joking around, the time we had, just a few minutes, it meant something to our friendship, something deeper. I had no schedule to go all the way out to Little Harbor, and something said go. And I bummed my leg last week doing something in the race, and it was hurting me. And Daniel's like, you know you're jumping off whale's tail. Okay? It wouldn't make a bit of sense for me to do that with my leg. You helped me crawl up that thing by pushing my butt up that thing, and we went off it, and now we've got that memory. I'm still in pain, by the way, but it didn't make a bit of sense. But we share that. And little things. You don't have to understand it to obey. You don't have to know where it's going to end up or where the next step is. In this passage, we take a look at some men who keep sailing when they should have stopped. Now, this is going to be a disaster. Because anytime you ignore God's warnings, the winds will be against you. You need to hear this because we're in a series called Don't Stop. But in this situation, a sailor's situation here, they should have stopped, okay? In this one situation, because they went along and they caught a wind for a little while. It probably looks like everything's going to be okay. Verse 13, when a gentle wind began to blow, they saw their opportunity. Here we go, okay? Here we go. If you've been sleeping right now, it's time to wake up. Here we go. They see their opportunity, a little wind. So they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete, and before very long, it doesn't say how long, by the way, but ignoring God's warnings and sailing into the wind, before long, an unspecified period of time, a wind of hurricane force. What is just a south wind, okay, is just a little thing, became howling, called a nor'easter, okay, swept down from the island, and the ship was caught by the storm, could not even head into the wind. So we gave way to it and were driven along. A picture of this in my mind. I thought, you know, they had the wind at their backs. They literally had the wind at their backs. Churches sometimes look like we've got this. This is exactly what we need to do for the next semester here and the next fall and winter. And the visions and plans of men are what? There are many. But what prevails? What does God's word say, Proverbs? God's purposes prevail, right? Sometimes we get ahead. It looks good. Let's just follow this deal. Let's just move forward. God says, man, this is my church. Stay humble. Stay on your knees. I'll lead you. A picture of this is going on. Even with progress you think we're making, it's ultimately sometimes leading into disaster. For what is it for a man to gain the whole world if he loses his soul? What is it for you to make more money, but you have to cut corners to do it? And you're not even going to like yourself when you see yourself in the mirror. What good is it for you to amass nothing but material stuff and not be involved in the things that matter most to God? So you're going to go with the wind. What is the wind that's against you? What are the warnings of God that are hitting you right now? And you know they're there. And I love this phrase. It describes so many of us. It describes me to a T. Driven along, just going with the flow. A complete loss of control. And it says in verse 16, we passed to the leeward side of a small island named Cauda. We were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure, so the men hoisted it aboard. And then we passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together because they were afraid they would run aground on the sandbars of Syrtis. So they lowered the sea anchor and they let the ship be driven along. Everybody say it with me. Driven along. One more time. Driven along. Yeah. I wonder how many people are being driven along today because they ignored the warnings of God. You know what's interesting? I could stop right here. Preachers have a hard time doing this and they do this. I could stop right here and mention some of those warnings you've ignored. But I don't need to. I don't have to do that. That's what the Spirit of God does. And He's not there to threaten you. No. He doesn't condemn you. But He calls with a gentle wind of whisper saying, you need to pay more attention here. Hobbs, you need to pay more attention. You need to put your heart back into this. You need to get back over there and do it like you used to do it. You've lost your passion. Son, listen to me. You've lost your intensity. And He speaks, you've lost your focus. You've lost your first love. And now I'm driven along. I've lost my hold, my anchor, He says in verse 18. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. Now it's getting bad, okay? It's getting bad. And I know that this is supposed to be an encouraging message, and I'm going to get there. But before I can get to the encouraging part, I need to describe with some accuracy, okay, the stuff that people's lives look like right now. And you're just throwing stuff and trying this and trying that, and you're caught up in a storm, all up in the midst of trouble and all up in the midst of trials, in the midst of situations. To be honest with you, many of us and many of you have created yourself. That's what it says. On the third day, they thought the, literally, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. And when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, isn't that a terrible thing when a storm continues raging? Okay, those people in the Grand Bahamas know what that's like. 2 to 3 days of Category 5 onslaught wind right there on top of them, hammering day after day, night and hour after hour, and watching their cities flood. Raging, it says. Come on, somebody. You ever been in a storm that kept raging? Right? It just seemed like there was just nothing going to lighten up. There is just no way out. I spoke to a young man this week on our football team. He came out in May, and he's been kicking butt. This kid's really a hard worker. I love him. He's got a great, great personality. And as his trainer, I noticed he was limping a little bit this week. I was like, what's going on? He said, man, I got a soreness in my chest. And he pointed right here. And that can mean a lot of things. And that's pretty serious. And I said, well, we need to get you to the clinic. We need to get that checked out. He goes, my ankle hurts too. I was like, okay, so that's the limping part? He goes, yeah, and my knee is killing me. And all of a sudden I hear, hey! And another coach says his name, come out here and take kickoff. And so I'm sitting here talking, I'm going, you're not like that. He was gone. And I turned around, I was just like, you just unloaded three big things, and you just ran right past me out on the field. So I walk out there to try to start. All of a sudden, the ball is kicked, and he literally is like dragging his leg over to the sideline at this point. It's not a limp. He's done. And that was early in the week. We're approaching the San Diego game, and this was on Thursday evening, and you could see the look on his face. And I just pulled him aside and said, what is going on inside right now? What's going on in your head? He goes, man, I lost this position. Some other guy took over. I lost this position. Another person's taken over that. Now I can't even kick the ball. I just think I'm done. I don't even want to go on this road trip. I know what's going to happen. I'm just going to be standing there the whole time. Just sunk into this mentality. Real selfish stuff. It would seem he has total, you know, right to feel that way. But all of a sudden, in those few days, that injury had become so important to him that it just foreshadowed everything around him, like the team, right? And it was about him. I'm not getting to play here. I'm not getting to play here. Now I'm not able to play here. I don't even want to go on this trip. See where this leads. And the storm was raging. It was wearing on this young man. And what's happening in this story here is a lot of people had given hope on even being saved. And that's very profound. I understand that, okay? But this is a statement of not only distress. Distress is one thing. That's when you're throwing crap overboard. That's when you're just unloading stuff to get it quickly better. That's when you're still trying to do something to save your life. That's when you're still trying to make a way, still trying to survive. But he says eventually we went from distress to what? Despair. Write that in. That's never going to be any different. See, my buddy who was injured went from injury to just mental selfishness, just complete selfishness. Like this whole thing's about me. And he's a great kid. And I believe some of you have made that conclusion about your life, that it's just how it is. I'm always going to be depressed. That's just how it is. I'm always going to be overweight. I'm always going to be full of health problems. That's just how it is. I'm always going to be addicted to this. It's always just going to get the best of me. That's just how it is. It's always going to be this way with me, the way I think. I'm always going to be bitter. That's just how it is. It's always going to be lonely. I'm going to live this way and I'm going to be lonely. That's just how it is. I'm always going to have a negative view of things. That's just how it is. Driven along and drifting along. We gave up hope. That's what he says. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, he said, it got so dark out here. He said, as long as we could see something to guide by, we kept going. But even though we were taking a beating in the whole process, we kept going, but eventually we lost what we had been guided by, completely lost that. And when we lost our guiding light, he says, we gave up hope. Now we're just drifting, and now you're just drifting. Now I'm just drifting. And now that player I mentioned, drifting. And I wonder who God sent me here today to talk about this. It's drifting. And I can picture you in my mind. And you're drifting. And you feel like that man up there is talking to me. And here, see, this is what I love about God. Because it says in verse 21, look at verse 21, skip ahead here. This is the message that God sent me to give to you, by the way. It says that after they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them. And I want to stand up like Paul today and preach the word to all of you who have been driven along. You've lost some time. You've lost some cargo. You may have lost some money. You may have lost some moments. You may have lost some people. You may have lost some relatives. You may have lost some peace. You may have lost some brain cells. I don't know what you may have lost. You may have lost some things. Here's what the word of the Lord wants to say. Lean into this. Lean into this. Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice." Okay? And some of you are like, that sounds like a lady talking. Okay? Paul is not a lady. All right? My wife's favorite verse. "Men, you should have taken my advice." Let's continue. "You should have listened to me. Hey, 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 hey. If you had done this my way the first time around, this would have been a lot better. There's consequences. You should have listened to God the first time." But this is where it gets good, okay? This is what he said. Y'all awake? Y'all awake this morning? Here we go. "You would have here it is, okay? You would have spared yourself this damage and loss. But now..." Okay? All right? Avalon? "But now." Okay? "You're down 22 points at half. And here comes the speech. But now." All right? Here it is. You're feeling it right now. Okay? You're feeling it in your pew this morning or online. If you're listening in Sol Vista or Hamilton Cove, you're listening online. Somebody say, "But now." Okay? Okay? Shout it out. "But now." Here we go. "I can't do anything about what happened to me back there. I can't do anything about the decisions I made a year ago. I can't do anything about when I was 16 years old. I can't do anything about the decisions I made last night. But now, there's some things I would change if I could change them, if I could get a do-over, if I'd only get a do-over, but I can't. But now." Everybody say, "But now." I love it. You know who Paul sounds like here? He sounds like Mary and Martha, who turned around when Lazarus was dead. Mary and Martha came out to meet Jesus in the road. And they said, "Lord, if you'd have been here, our brother would not have died. But even now, we serve a right now God, my friends. Okay? We serve a right now God. Now is the faith of substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. I can't see the stars. I can't see the end. I can't even see dry ground. But now," Paul said, "I forget what's behind me. And I reach ahead now, I can put this whole series, okay, on these two words. High five somebody right now and say, "But now." Wake them up. But now. Come on. We're not putting this off anymore. We're not going to defer our obedience anymore. We're not going to drift along one more day. But right now, the time to do the right thing is right now. I urge you to keep your courage. Because not one of you, I know it was your mistake, but not one of you will be lost. Isn't that merciful? I always hear a Southern preacher that I grew up with say these funny things. "Well, if God got you into a situation, he'll get you out. Amen." Right? But what if he didn't get me into the situation? What if I got my own stupid self into the situation? Okay? What if I did that? He'll still come looking for you. I'll still come snatch you. I'll still save you. I'll still give you another chance. I'll still call your name. I'll still love you. I'll still accept you. I'll still use you. He said, not one of you will be lost. But about this boat. Okay? It's not looking so good for the boat, he said. It's not looking good. Only the ship will be destroyed. And let me ask you a question. Is this good news or bad news? Okay? Depends on what your priority is in the situation. If what you care about is most the boat, well, the boat's going down. Okay? But Paul said, keep up your courage, men, because not one of you will be lost. The ship The ship we can talk about later, okay? But this is for you, Avalon. See, sometimes our hope is too much, and how we got to do something. Follow me, okay? Sometimes our hope is in the plan for how we want to get where we think God wants to take us. And see if our hope is in our plan, and our plan is interrupted. Are you tracking with me? Okay. Then our faith fails. Our faith fails. Because it was our plan. Because I thought I'd be further along by now. Because I thought she would never leave me. And I thought I was going to be together with her or him forever. And I thought I would go back to college this semester. And I saw it, and I thought, and I thought. And so you're focused on how you thought it was going to happen. And you're missing the way God wants to bring it about. This is very painful for me to write. It wasn't long ago we raced to Two Harbors in some very beautiful boats, beautiful canoes. And we turned around, and a secondary crew was to sail them back, to paddle them back. And within 2.5 miles, very close to Empire and off the point, you have two parts to an outrigger canoe, the one everybody sits in, right? And then the smaller part called the Ama. It's the other pontoon that's much smaller. The whole thing snapped. I don't mean just got loose on one side, but the whole thing snapped off completely and broke and floated away. Everybody goes in the water. And you know, immediately I order everybody in life jackets. And who's got a radio, you know? Chase boat's not here yet. Our chase boat driver was still at Two Harbors, enjoying Two Harbors. That wasn't the plan. And I, you know, can honestly tell you, if I'd have known waking up that morning, you know, after checking the equipment, just looking at the equipment, everything looked great. Everything looked great. What was underneath the polyurethane that was about 1.5 inches thick was decay. It was completely just dry rotted. Couldn't see it underneath. It wasn't my plan. And that's what Paul is trying to get to these men to see. He said, we're not going to get there in this boat. Which I would prefer, by the way. I like the boat. I'm totally into the boat. But there's no hope left for the boat. In other words, some things are never going to be like they were again. This pastor needs to let you know that this morning. You're not going to be able to rewind that and do a do-over. You can't rewind that part. But he said, last night, an angel of God, by the way, to whom I belong and to whom I serve, stood beside me. Amen? Y'all awake? Okay. I'm so glad for that phrase where he says, it stood beside me. He stands beside you, okay? And I'm so glad that we have an omnidirectional God. A lot of verses say he goes before me. He is behind me. Isn't it cool to hear he's beside me, right? That's how I believe Paul writes to all of us, like he's climbing up the wall, not just above you going, you got this, sucker. You got this. Come on, man. He's right there next to you, scarred, scraped, and bruised. And he's talking to you this morning. He's got your whole future, and he's prepared it. He's got your past, my friends. He's redeemed it. And he's right here beside you in this moment to comfort you and give you courage. Come on, you got to keep your courage up. Touch somebody and say, keep your courage up. Yeah. Look at somebody else and say, keep your courage up. Yeah. Keep it up. That's it. The boat might be going down. It doesn't look good, but keep your courage up. Your bank account may be going down. Uh-oh. Keep your courage up. Your lease is about to run out, and they're going up on your rent. Been there. Yeah, your grades might have gone down last semester, but if you keep your courage up, guess what? Your grades can go back up. Keep your courage up. See, sometimes the only thing that's in your control is your courage. And these two are flip-flop, but write that one in. That's the secondary one there. Your conditions may not always be in your control. I never saw that thing snapping off my boat. You don't always get to decide what kind of skies you face. See the fog this morning? Yeah, no one saw that coming. You don't always get to decide what kind of seas that you sail on. Guarantee you the first boat was a little late, probably coming in this morning. You don't always get to decide the weather forecast. There's some things, literally, that are outside of your control, okay? But your courage is in your control. You can handle that. It depends on what you're focused on. And some of us and some of you have lost your courage. You've lost your confidence. You've lost your hope. And you've lost your joy. You want to know why? because your hope was in the boat. Your hope was in your circumstances. And as God says, sometimes I got to break your boat apart. I got to let you float to the surface. You may need a life jacket for a little bit. Without it, I thought about calling this message Hope Floats. Nobody remembers that movie. Okay? It says in verse 24, do not be afraid. Paul, you must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep your courage, Avalon Church. I don't care if you're here for the first time in 6 months. Keep your courage up, my sister. Keep your courage up, single mom. Keep your courage, even though you didn't know you'd be divorced. Even though your industry is starting to shrink as businesses are slowing down Monday through Thursday a little bit here, a little more than projected, keep your courage up. Maybe your retirement account is going funky. Keep your courage up. Even though everything else is going down, keep your courage up. He says it twice for emphasis. Keep up your courage, for I have faith in God that it will happen, just as he told me. Great scripture. Just like I thought, not just like I wished. Not just what I thought when I was a little kid. Not just the plans I made when we first stepped foot into, you know, Avalon. No, you can count on it, though. God's purposes in my life that will be fulfilled. He hasn't left me. He's standing beside me. You got me, God. You have my back. We were never alive because of the boat to begin with. One time Jesus wanted to show the disciples that. So what'd he do? He just went walking on the water. He wanted to show them, hey, I'll borrow your boat when I want to, but I don't need your boat because I created that stuff. Man, oh, what a great story. I can go on and on and on. He's not subject to what he created, you all. He can get on the top of any circumstances. He can do anything he wants. He doesn't need a boat to save you. Amen? Say, I can count on this. You can count on this. You can. He's going to do it. Nevertheless, look at verse 26. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. Boy, does that happen a lot around here. You know what's amazing? What's amazing says in verse 41 that eventually the ship struck a sandbar and ran aground. And when it couldn't move, the stern was broken to pieces by the pounding of the surf. The soldiers planned to kill the prisoners to prevent any of them from swimming away and you know, escaping. Hey, thanks, Paul. Now we're going to kill you, okay? Love that. No one's paying attention to this. Okay, good. Centurion wanted to spare Paul's life. Can you imagine? Just going to kill everybody here. But there was a centurion, and he wanted this whole thing to look different. He wanted to spare Paul's life, keep them from carrying out their plan. So he did. And he ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first to get to land. The rest were to get there on planks or other parts of the ship. In this way, everyone reached land safely. Are you worshiping the way you want God to do it? Write that in. Or are you worshiping the God who said he would and trusting him to do it any way he sees fit? He said he'd provide for you, but he didn't say how, right? He said he would be there for you, but he didn't promise you'd always feel it. He promised. He promised to meet every need, but he didn't promise that he would give you everything you ever wanted. I came to tell you that you can count on it. It might take a little longer than you wanted to. It might look a little different than you thought. But if God spoke it, you see, one thing I hold on to, whatever is happening in my ministry, whatever is happening in my life, whatever is happening in my spirit, whatever is happening to my friends, and I mean close friends, there's one thing, just one thing I want to tell you this morning at 11:42 in this church, that the scripture says, he who began a good work in you, who began this good work, will be faithful to complete it. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. God finishes what he starts. Is there anybody listening this morning? He finishes what he starts. I don't care if this is the slower season and our town gets to rest. Don't rest on this one. And don't let this get, you know, take this for granted as we started this sermon out. Say, you can lose this. You can pass this. You can move way past it. You need to park on this and let it grow you. God will finish what he starts if you'll keep taking those risks. You keep listening to him and keep following him. And listen, small groups are kicking off right now. We got women's stuff. We got men's stuff. There's a retreat for the women right around the corner. There's great things we're going to take men to in the next few months. Things are kicking off. If you sit here and say, there's no hope for my situation, and I don't have time to meet with those small groups, they don't fit my schedule, that's not my plan, I don't have Tuesday mornings available, right? And God may be sitting right here going, I'm setting this up. My plan is right here. Take a risk. Make a sacrifice in your personal schedule. Get somewhere. Do something that you feel inside you is conflicting, and try it. Stick it out for a couple of weeks. See what small groups feel like when you're heard and you're known and you're cared for. Tithing. Are you serious? This is the most difficult season, right? When everything slows down on the island. What about that sacrifice? Could God be up to something more than your money? And he wants your heart to say, I want your heart. There's no need for struggle here. I own all of this anyway. And I've got your back. And I want to see what's inside. Will you trust me? Because your way of reaching Rome is not the way I'm going to do this. And that whole other message that follows this in Malta, oh my gosh, an entire island gets saved. And they struggle in Malta. That's part two of this whole deal. Some of you just need to remember that today. God's the one who started it. Paul says, God's the one who started this. God's the one who let me on this ship. God's the one that had me end up in chains. I always wanted to go to Rome, but I did not picture this travel accommodation. But if God put me on this ship, God put me here, if I have to float in on pieces, if I have to grab onto boards, if I have to do the breath stroke, I'll do it. 2 weeks ago, I preached to you on just keep marching. Just keep marching. And this week, the spirit of Nemo is coming on. Here it is. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. Okay? If you got to do the backstroke, if you got to tread water, if you got a doggy paddle, if you're in the 28th mile of a 32-mile race and you're cramping from the waist down and every single muscle's cramping and you got a doggy paddle, get to the chase boat. Get there. Just keep going forward. You can count on it. It will happen. I need you to find five people right now and look on them and say, count on it. It will happen. Count on it. Sink it for them. Look at them in the eyes. Let them have it. In Jesus' name. Yeah. Stand up with me if you would. Let's pray. Stand if you would. Let's pray. There's somebody here today who's in a storm. And block out everything around you right now. And maybe it's so severe, you started to despair. And that happened to me 2 weeks ago. I remember some junk that hit the fan. I opened an email of doom. And I just let it go where it didn't need to go. And I found myself in despair very quickly. You've given up hope, maybe, of even being saved. You're drifting along in life. You don't have a compass. You've lost direction. Maybe at one time you've had a strong sense of a relationship with God, but today you feel a little differently. And maybe you've just drifted away. The current's pulled you. Strong sense of relationship with Him is missing. And so in the midst, you've thrown a lot of unnecessary stuff off. You've emptied cargo left and right. You've done everything you need to do, everything you think you need to do, everything you know to do. But you're still drifting along, taking a beating, getting pounded day in and day out. Right now, I'm speaking to someone who possibly is emotionally barbecued. You're at this place where you don't know. You don't know which end is up. And now God has brought you to this place where He wants to show you all along that He's been the one. He's been the one. He's been sustaining you and your life in this moment come together. And you realize He has been around. And I'm asking for you this morning just to take a moment and reach out to Him. Just take a moment. Go ahead and just pray quietly. Reach out to Him today. I believe you'll find that just like he lifted Peter when he was in a sinking state, brought him right up again so that Peter could say, truly, you're the Son of God. And I believe today you're going to see the power of God in your life. Let it go. He'll raise you up in the newness of life. Scripture teaches all have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. And just like men on that ship, we've all gone in the wrong direction. We've all turned astray. We've all gone to our own way. But I believe there's someone here today that God let your boat break apart so life that you know and what you think can go away and you can finally experience a relationship with the one who created the water itself. The one who gave you life. The one who brought you this far, and he didn't bring you here to leave you. He brought you here to rescue you and to show you that he is the source and the sustainer of life. If that's you today and you want to begin this relationship or get back with him, pray out loud as a church family for the benefit of those giving their life to Christ for the first time or maybe coming back. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, all together, Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. Today, I give my life to Jesus. I put my hope in Jesus. I believe he died to forgive my sin. And on the third day, he rose again to give me life. I receive this life. I receive your grace. Receive your purpose. To follow you the days of my life. And folks, in the confidence of this moment, I ask that you seal this between you and God. And his Son is the only way there. And if you prayed this, and if you're talking to him right now, and you even have further questions, or you just want more prayer, don't leave. I'll hang out as long as it takes, and I've got great friends here. All of us on stage would love to pray with you more. I want to keep this going. And Father, I thank you for being here. Your presence is soothing in the midst of a chaotic world. And when we cannot see, and the fog, I mean literally the marine layer is so thick, you cannot see your hand in front of your face with circumstance and innuendo and all the things that come. There is a God who's sustaining your boat. He may break it apart, but he will float you. He will get you where you need to be. We trust your scripture this morning. We thank you for the heroes that set the tone, and we ask for perseverance for this congregation. In Jesus' name, amen.